Welcome to Pathways to Wisdom, a show about journey and legacy, contribution, and the meaning of life. We all have interesting stories about the paths we have chosen, the people we have touched, and the wisdom that comes with living life to the fullest. We have a choice each day to live into our greatness, and our greatness is informed by what we do, how and who we love, and what we believe about ourselves and others. Now here's the host of Pathways to Wisdom, Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, and I am so happy to say it is evening, and it's a different time of day for the Pathways to Wisdom show. It's a different format. I have a panel discussion with some of the most amazing people on the planet, and we're going to have a good time and talk about success. We're going to talk about success in terms of strong spiritual foundation, and we're going to talk about creating the life of your dreams. And all of that is so very powerful when you have the right people in the room. So let me tell you who is on the line with me. I have Robert McPhee, and Robert is the author of Manifesting for Non-Gurus, a book and partner journal, and he's also the founder of Heartset, Inc. He's also a founding member of the Transformational Leadership Council and the former director of training for Jack Canfield. I also have Christy Staub, who is an entrepreneur and success coach, speaker, and consultant who inspires her clients to create their ideal lives and achieve professional and personal excellence. She is known for her skillfulness in interpersonal communications and in building and maintaining collaborative relationships. She has been trained by and assisted top leaders in the peak performance and transformational leadership industry, including Dr. Martha Beck and Jack Canfield. I am also proud to have Howard Falco, who is a spiritual teacher, author, and speaker, specializing in the understanding of the personal power of mind and its influence over the creation of our reality. In late 2002, at the age of 35, he sought the answer to that wonderful, powerful question, "Who am I?" His quest resulted in a sudden and all-encompassing shift in awareness that revealed more about life and how we create it, more so than he ever imagined knowing. Startled by his new understanding and its implications for his own life and the lives of his children and others, Falco set out to write and share his discoveries. I also have Stephen Eric Connor, who is a seasoned transformational life communication and relationship coach, professional trainer, and author. He has 26 years of experience helping thousands of people improve their self-awareness, communication, and relationships. Stephen is an expert in using the timeless teachings of the Enneagram, a 2,500-year-old personality and communication method for connecting self-awareness, intention, and desired outcomes. I also have, last but not least by any means, the wonderful Sarah McLean. She is the best-selling Hay House author of Soul Centered, Transform Your Life in 8 Weeks with Meditation. She has been teaching meditation and leading spiritual retreats for over 20 years. She was the founding education director of Deepak Chopra's Mind Body Health Center, directed Byron Katie's Schools for the Work, and worked with, Seed of the Soul author Gary Zukav. She lived in a Zen Buddhist monastery for years and extensively traveled throughout India and the Middle East. She serves as the director of the McLean Meditation Institute in Sedona, Arizona, which offers transformational meditation, training, retreats, and teacher certification programs. She is considered a vibrant, modern voice for an ancient practice, and I am very pleased that I have had all of you people, you wonderful people, on my show individually, and now together we're going to forge an all brand new who knows what. So welcome to the Pathways to Wisdom show.
Absolutely.
I mean, doesn't it sound wonderful to hear about everybody's work and what they've done? And I have to tell you, I was reading something that is probably 6-point type. And Sarah, by the time I got to yours, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to mess yours up again.
You did a beautiful job.
Thank
beautiful
you. And it's, seriously, it's 6-point type. It's like, what was I thinking? All right. So let me, if I may, give you my definition of success. And then we'll kind of go round robin and see how we agree or disagree and what we need to add to that, because each of you has your own, certainly, description and experience of success, and you've all had extreme and wonderful success. So my definition is that success is a self-perpetuating fuel for achieving your dreams. It leads you from idea to implementation in a self-assured and confident fashion. It is something you want to access over and over again in all areas of your life. I like to believe that we bake a success cupcake and that it is tasty, filling, and fulfilling. And we have to bake it whenever we want to and then frost it with our favorite flavors and texture. How does that sound?
Wow, I need to go back and write some more.
Okay.
I'm going to get a recording of it.
Thank you. Otherwise, you can.
I was going to order a dozen of those cupcakes.
I know. And you know what's really cool about it is we get to put whatever toppings on we like. And if you ever watch those cupcake shows on the Food Channel where they make these amazing cupcakes and decorate it all and put these wonderful fillings and so forth. And every time they do that, because I had written this a long time ago, for me, that is my image of success, my take and bake, if you will, that I can say, oh, yeah, that's right, they're talking about success. So I believe we can kind of use a visual like that. So if I could say, if everyone would say whatever they want to say, but begin by saying my name or I am or whatever so we know which one of us is talking because we have equal number, I think, of boys and girls. So who would like to say something about success?
This is Sarah, and I will say something about success. For me, I feel success is about achieving contentment and peace and to really maintain that on a regular basis in every moment. And I believe some of the ingredients for success in my world are about being in the present moment, making very conscious choices so that what I think and what I say and what I do all are in alignment. Success for me is about speaking my truth and being in integrity and being present for other people, being present for myself as well. So success for me, it's ongoing. I don't know how to measure it externally. It's really a feeling. It's a sense. And it's very difficult to define. And I do like cupcakes.
This is going to work for all of you for the rest of your lives. Okay, so no, I've given you a gift this evening. All right.
Well, this is Howard Falco, and I tend to agree with Sarah. The way I would quantify it from my perspective is it's achieving the state of mind that you're looking for. So because it's hard to quantify, like she said, everything's subjective for your own personal experience. So success can mean one thing to one person and be completely different to another human being. So even if someone's at home and they're just looking to have a fun time with their family and they want to be in the right state of mind, if they can achieve that and find a way to understand how to be in that space, that is what success is to me. As much as it is for someone who's looking to achieve something in their business life or their health or any other intention that they have really in the outer world, of creating. It's, again, the state of mind that they're in the process of achieving that.
Right.
And this is Robert. I would add to that, I think I absolutely concur. Deborah, the one thing that you said that really got my attention was the word fuel. And I love it when we take success away from looking strictly at results and really bring it to the experiential level. I think the results piece is really important. It is important to have something specific and measurable that we can be shooting for and identifying as a specific result. But I totally agree with the rest of, I think, what everyone has said, that ultimately it comes down to the experience that we're having. And I've been spending a lot of time lately referring to something that Stephen Covey used to say, and he, of course, passed away in the last few weeks. But one of the most memorable things he talked about was, we want to make sure we don't climb the ladder of success only to find that it's leaning against the wrong wall. And recognizing that it's really about the experience that we want to be having and making sure whatever results we're pursuing are in alignment with that.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah, this is Stephen O'Connor. And if I may, first I want to say I love the energy and the depth of whatever everybody's sharing here so far. I love it. And so my definition of success for me is, and what I've learned, is really more about self-discovery and self-love. And what I refer to as the three levels of awareness. And the first level of awareness is, if I put my hand on my chest and I say, who am I? And really need to know that, and which is beyond and exceeds my behavior. But who is the motivation that's behind the behavior? To really get to know the clarity of who I am. And the level two would be, okay, now who are you? Who's the person that's across from me? And here's the key, without my opinion, without any bias, and without any judgment, there's so much liberation in just letting people just be who they are. Level three is, how do we connect? And what I teach in this, you know, timeless, you know, tool of the Enneagram is the 9 different personalities in the communication levels and languages, not levels, but languages. And so the key is not to speak in my own language, but understanding and listening for the words that each of these types speak so that I can resonate and connect. Because, again, I believe that until we connect, we're really not communicating. We're simply taking turns talking. So the definition of the success, again, is self-discovery and self-love. And this is all whether it's personal or professional, because wherever you are, you are. And so that's where I'm at.
So be who you are and connect, and self-discovery and self-love. I love that. I love that. And I love that these are all different. Christy.
Yes, mine, just in one simple word, is fulfillment in whatever it is that I'm looking to do or how I interact with others. I think Carl Jung said it best when he said, the shoe that fits one person pinches another. There is no recipe for living that suits all cases. And typically what I do is I ask people in one word to really get them focused, what does success mean to you? And it's amazing how many times people stop and say, you know what, I've never thought about it. And in order for us to get from wherever we are to wherever we want to be in any area of our life, we really have to know, what does success mean to us individually, and what does success mean to those around us so we can help them achieve what it is they're looking to achieve as well.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'd love to, this is Sarah, and I'd love to do that. Shall we do it? Do the one word?
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, so, Christy, it's fulfillment.
Right.
Steven, what's your one word?
Love.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Absolutely love.
Robert.
Well, I'm gonna reiterate with love, and part of my work is looking also at the question, who am I, and looking at the core self. And as I've looked at that and really looked as deep as I can go, it is that word love that comes up, pure unconditional love.
Absolutely.
This is Sarah, and I concur.
So that's love, okay.
That's love.
This is Howard, and the way that I would express it would be peace of mind. And, you know, it's amazing we're using these different words, but they all connect. They're all, because love connects to peace of mind connects to love. It's just interesting the different ways that that it can be expressed.
Absolutely. Now, rather than give, because I would like to use the word love also, even though I can use the word fuel because Robert liked it, but I think we'll go with love. But let's now hold all of that in a container with spirituality. How does that work?
How does it work in terms of?
Well, we're talking about using spirituality as a strong foundation. So I don't think that we can just have this, all of this, these words kind of in a vacuum, right? It's got to be in a container or not.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's not.
Right. So spirituality, this is Howard again, spirituality might be the term for the path at which you learn to achieve that understanding of success for yourself, or that state of mind, or that feeling of love. And the path of your spirituality, again, from the way that it comes from my teaching, is based on awareness. It's based on becoming more and more aware of the nature of who you are. Because as that idea expands, there's a greater sense of the possibilities for you in your life. There's less limits that you see for yourself the more that your idea of who you are expands. And I think that's the journey, really, that we're all on.
This is Sarah, and I totally agree with you. And when you ask, you know, how does that work within the framework of spirituality, I mean, I don't see any difference between spirituality and the rest of my life. It's all the same for me. I don't even know the difference. My spiritual quest is the same as the rest of my life.
Right.
Yes. This is Stephen O'Connor. It's, you know, I will say it in this way, that it's stepping outside of yourself so, you know, to see who you are so that you can then step back into yourself. So, so what maybe define what that is if you're having an what I call an out-of-body experience, and this is all that this means, is if I'm sitting here on the phone and I'm talking with someone else, is can you have that spiritual essence of who you are, you know, right where you're sitting on the phone, but really just come outside of you where you get a chance to see you visually in your mind's eye talking on this conversation. And as you sit there in your spiritual sense, what is it that you would want to say to yourself? What would you want? What is it that you feel that you need to see and hear? So now we're living, I think, on the level of the essence of who we truly are spiritually to help guide us in this physical world so that we keep ourselves out of trouble and harm's way.
Right. I think that's, this is Deborah again, that's kind of why I said, is it the container or is it not a container? In other words, is it bigger? Is it, can it even be defined that way? Or, you know, am I being clumsy and awkward in my expression of it, you know, because it doesn't fit that, you know, that you can't make it into a box. It's bigger.
Well, and this is Robert again, and I would say, too, to kind of combine two things that have already been said, where we're talking about awareness and we're talking about stepping out of ourselves, it is about bringing our awareness outside of the realm that we, I think, traditionally think of success, that it's the doing, and we focus so much on the doing, and when we pause long enough to focus on the being and to remember that we're connected to so much, something so much larger than this body that we're hanging out in, this car that we're driving, this house that we're living in, whatever it might be, to me that's where the spirituality component comes in. However people choose to frame that up and structure it, it's that remembering that we're connected to something so much larger, that we're connected to each other. You know, even as we're on this call tonight, I'm just thinking how exciting it's going to be to connect with this group of people a week from Saturday and be together live and in person, take this energy to an even greater level. That's the type of thing that I think really brings in the spiritual component.
Well, wow, that was captured right there. The key word that I heard, this is Stephen again, is the energy. Yeah, I'm sitting here just marveling at the energy I'm feeling from everyone on this call. And, you know, we all do our own thing, but when we get up here collectively together, it's really going to be one energy that is going to resonate in collectively within ourselves that is just going to shine like a bright light out into the audience.
That's really
absolutely
nice. Really nice.
And, of course, we're talking about the Spirit Spectacular that's going to be on September 8th, which is all day Saturday, at the Unity of Phoenix. And we'll come back around toward the end of the show and talk about that some more. But that's where we're all going to be together. And it is wonderful to have an experience on this call like this to kind of test drive it. You guys may have been together before. I have never been with any of you except on the shows that we've done previously. And I feel the same way. I'm getting very full. You know, and what am I getting full of? Well, I'm getting full of not just excitement, but also hope, love. You know, I've got a whole lot going on here, and my heart is actually feeling bigger than my chest. And I don't know, that doesn't happen all the time. So that's a good thing, right?
It's really nice. Yeah. It's a great thing.
I think we could probably take this show on the road, the Boomer and the Babe and the Love Bugs. Right.
I like it.
The Love Bugs. There we go.
I like it. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. I don't think that's what the Unity of Phoenix had in mind, but you know what? It's okay. We're good. Well, if anybody has anything else they want to say before we move on to, I mean, we're not going to move very far from where we just were, but did anybody have anything they wanted to complete on this thought before I kind of throw out another thought?
This is Sarah again, and I was thinking about in Buddhism, you know, there's the Sangha, which is the community. There's the true nature, the Buddha nature, which is our awareness. And there's the Dharma, which are the teachings. And I was just like all of you, I was feeling this fullness and the wonder of this Sangha, the wonder of this community, and the listeners who are on this call are part of the Sangha. And it is so exciting for me to be a part of this, and I just really wanted to acknowledge that.
Hmm. Very nice.
Very nice.
This is Howard, and I just had a follow-on comment. We're tying together success with the idea of awareness and love. I think it has to tie it all together into a sense of practicality. Again, it depends on each individual's situation and what they're looking to achieve. because if they're looking for a better relationship with their kids, or they're looking for a better job or more abundance in their life or health or whatever the many millions of different intents people have, ultimately what they're looking to achieve is a certain sense of peace or state of mind, or the feeling of being loved, which leads to a greater sense of peace and state of mind. And so that's how it connects. Now, the process that I've understood where you get to that place is by reflecting on how what has been created in your life got created, by being willing to look at the truth of who you have been that has created the situation that you're in right now without any guilt, shame, or regret, but simply with the understanding that this has been the unfolding of how it's happened for you. Because when you're willing to stare truth in the face like that and look at it, that's when your eyes are the most wide open. That's when you can learn the most so that you can gain the information you need to go forward to put the conditions together to achieve what you're looking to achieve, again, with any of these different intentions, with the result being the peace of mind or the state of mind that you're looking for. So just sort of to connect it all, that's kind of how I saw all of us putting everything together and sort of the bigger picture, bringing it to the practicality of people who are listening that might have thoughts or ideas of what they're, you know, how do I get to X, Y, or Z in my life?
Well, if this is Deborah, and if I may say, kind of the reason for this show and the title of the show, as everyone knows, is Pathways to Wisdom, has to do with probably exactly what you just said. And the pathway to wisdom for me is an alignment of the mission, vision, purpose, and core values such that the path that a person is on allows them to grow in their work and their personal relationships, and they get to carve out a life plan and, frankly, an exit strategy that makes everything they've done in work and in play worth it, right? You get on that path and you work hard at what you love and you deliver the goods. You do everything in excellence and greatness and genius or whatever your whatever path that you're on. And then hopefully you leave the world a better place for your having done that. And for me, that is legacy.
Deborah, is the exit strategy the legacy, or are you exiting before the legacy? Are you talking about exiting this, your work in the world?
I'm probably thinking about exiting the container. I'm back to the container.
Uh-huh.
No, I think you have to have an exit strategy that is how your life will play out, you know, in your final days, and this is my opinion. In my final days, I hope that I look back and I say, I was a nice person. I made a difference. You know, I really can see where my print is on things, because I think it's important.
I don't mean to interrupt. This is Howard again, but what if you could say that right now? Why would you have to wait till the end of your days to get there? What
I
if
knew
you
were
could understand that you already are that, that you always have been that, that you already are that? I mean, that's, to me, one of the most exciting things is that realization, because that's what opens the floodgates of love. And that's when you don't even worry about a legacy. Not that you don't want to leave a certain path behind you, but you already know that it is. So it can be a very powerful place to get to right now.
And that sounds like spirituality wrapped around it again to me. That sounds
to me. This is Stephen, and you know, what was mentioned earlier, the being versus doing. And I think when we slow down just long enough, and I absolutely concur with what was just mentioned, is that we strive for all these things we want in life. You know, that's kind of the almost like never getting a chance to taste the carrot. And what are we really chasing? Because I'm right here. Wherever I am, I'm right there. And wherever that is, I just got to be. And if I get the chance to get to know me and understand my purpose, my passion, and my mission, then anything that I do is special.
Well, what I've noticed by the experiences that I've had with each of you individually, and again on this call right now, is that I have to do a lot more work by choice, on understanding and being present, and the fact that, like you just said, Howard, what if it's already now? You know, who is it that said, when is it too soon for to no. When is it? Oh, forget it.
When is now? When is now a good time?
There you go. That was the one. You knew it. Yeah. When is now exactly? And you see what I'm saying? I mean, I think there's. I'm not the only one, by the way, that has this lesson to learn, and I'm okay with learning lessons. Is it okay for me to learn?
We all do. We all have lessons to learn. Every single one on this call, you know, every day. I'm sure. I mean, I don't mean to speak for everybody, but I certainly do every day. That's the beautiful thing about life.
I'm in agreement, absolutely. Love it.
Deborah, this is Sarah. And if you can remember that the future is simply an idea and the past is simply an idea, there is no real future or no real past. It's just a construct of the mind. And if you remember that, yes, you can have plans and hopes and dreams, but they're all being developed in the present moment. And the future itself will only be experienced as it unrolls at your feet, as it arrives in the present moment. And when you start to, or when you keep your attention in the moment, right here, right now, where your life actually is, you'll start to realize the emptiness of the idea of the future and the past. And you'll be less charmed by it and more charmed by what's actually happening now, where we're on this call. It's a blue moon. We're all together here. This is the this is your life.
Well, what you just said to me, and whoever is chiming in, I think it's Stephen's getting ready to burst with something wonderful to say. But
no,
I'm just
feeling moved by all of it. It's just so beautiful. That was I'm a writer. I would love to write that one down.
No. I love the word charmed. But what I'm hearing you say is so powerful, because the legacy that is so important to me in my work and what I believe is occurring right now. We as a group are crafting the legacy for the moment. And it's very powerful for each of us individually as a group and for anybody that listens now and later.
And every moment can be like this.
Wow.
You know, you sum that up. You said the word present and presence. And if we just pause for a moment and take a deep breath, the present is the gift.
You're right.
This is it. You know, recently I had Kenny Loggins over here teaching him to meditate, although he's a meditator. And all I kept thinking the whole time I was sitting with him was this song that he sings, "This is it. Make no mistake where you are. The waiting is over. There is no waiting for the future. This is it. Make no mistake where you are." Now, he wasn't singing about esoteric things. I think he was singing about a girlfriend or whatever. But this is it. This is your life.
If I may add to that, again, this is Stephen, is I have a client I was working with, a young man, and he was feeling like he was being very distracted at times. And I said, you know, he said, "What can I do to anchor myself?" And I said, "At times, don't, throughout the day, just slow down for just a moment and verbally say this, and say, 'I'm right here,' and look around, because that's where you're present.
Nice.
Is that where you want to be?"
And this is Robert. I would add, I love that description of and the reminder of the importance of really being present in the now. And I also know from working with my clients that sometimes that's a really big pill for people to swallow. It's a really hard one for them to really get their arms around. And one thing I find is that if we just remember that it's now is the moment where we create the future in our mind, where we imagine that future, where we imagine that intention or that goal or whatever it might be, that seems to be a way for most people to really grasp it a little more easily, to be able to say, okay, I get how important it is for me to have that experience now, to go back to what we were talking about earlier where, you know, nobody was saying that success is a larger car. It was all about the experience and the emotions and the feelings, and that even if the specific result hasn't shown up, we can have that emotion or feeling in this moment now. And it seems like most people can really grasp that and get the importance and the value of that.
Exactly
now,
right.
This is Stephen again. And just one more add I want to add to that, because it was just really opened up another thought for me, is when we're working with anybody or talking with anybody at all, if they're sharing with where they are and it seems as though it's a place that, or they're just verbalizing whatever, it's really just a thought. And I was talking to somebody today at lunch, and they said something, and it wasn't really empowering for themselves. And they said something. I said, well, that's a thought. What's a better thought? And immediately they just moved their energy. And they said, oh, my God, I haven't thought about having a better thought than the one I just had.
Well, the only way to know, this is Sarah, the only way to know what you're thinking is to be in the present moment so you can actually experience the thought, you know, moving through the awareness. And, you know, it's nice to be where we are, usually. And, you know, and I was in the military and I worked with a lot of soldiers who had post-traumatic stress disorder. I was a behavioral specialist. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to be where they are. And so they create, you know, there's some pathology created to prevent them from actually experiencing where they are. And then they're finding these days that soldiers have to gently be reintroduced to the present moment through mindfulness practices and body awareness practices. And that can be whether it's a post-traumatic stress from, being in war or just living in a sort of warlike household or, you know, disturbing environment. And so we can see why this happens for people.
Yeah, this is Howard. Sarah brings up a really good point, is that the reason people distract themselves in the present moment, there's pain. There's some sort of pain in the reflection that the thoughts that you're going to become aware of you're going to experience because of this. So the mind's defense mechanism is to put themselves out of the present moment and in some idea of the future or some idea of the past. So once that can be looked at in a different way, and people can realize that the present moment, that really with a different way of thinking about themselves, that it's very liberating to be in the present moment, and it's not as draining and as tiring and as painful as it's been to work to stay out of the present moment, it can help. The other thing is that the way I express it sometimes is that thinking of thoughts in the past that aren't beneficial or fearing a future, what you're really doing is you're putting yourself stuck in time, and you can't create when you're stuck in time. You can only create when you're in the present moment. So based on the intention of the individual, if your intention is to do X, Y, or Z, then you can see how it doesn't serve you to be woulda, coulding, or shoulding about the past or fearing a future that doesn't exist. But the power really comes when you enter that space of the present moment, because that's when, the way I express it sometimes, that's where the universe really responds to you, is what you're thinking, feeling, doing, and who you're being in the present moment. Otherwise, you're just stuck in time.
Yes, and if I'm going to add more thing to that, I'm loving this. I feel like I'm talking to old friends here. Is that the power of the emotion right there, and the way for people to... Yeah, I think all of us have had experiences working with folks where, and I think we have experience ourselves first. I mean, we're not like gurus that haven't gone through things. I mean, I think we probably all have more coaches or people we go to than anybody else that might come to see us.
That's
true. For myself, but we get in that circle. But the thing I want people to do in order to be in that present moment so that they can address the feeling, because you can't let go of it until you can address it, is that not to be afraid of the emotion and the feeling. So here's a phrase I share with them: is never deny your feelings, no matter what it is. But the key is, don't be controlled by them either, because feelings don't know how to drive very well. They run into stuff. But never deny your feelings.
This is Sarah, and I have to agree with you. And one of the practices, I teach meditation. That's my thing I love to do, and to meditate it. In my own world, I was definitely emotionally removed for most of my life, and I had to experience, I would have to say that I had no fluency in the emotional world. And what would happen is, as I would sit in meditation for hours on end, emotions would start to emerge. Even though I had studied stress and the responses of stress for so long, I didn't realize they existed in my own body, or that stress would keep me from experiencing life on a deep level. And so as emotions were arising, I realized emotions are only available in the present moment. And if I said, well, I'll feel that when it's more convenient, it would never be there. So present moment awareness also allows us to be very present for our emotions as their energy in motion. So they, as you say, can be experienced. And then they don't leave that residue, that veil of stress that masks our true nature, our being, our presence from radiating and being even aware, we're not even aware of it when we have that veil. So present moment awareness serves as a salve for so many pathologies, for sure.
All right, now, we're about
halfway through the first chapter of the book that I would read.
Thank you. That's lovely. So I want to be a little contrarian for a moment and say, how can we be in the present, in the moment, in the now, and create the life of our dreams at the same time? In other words, dreams are not necessarily the present moment for me. In other words, that's something that I'm building towards. That's something that I'm looking to. That and creation is not necessarily present moment. There's a continuum to this, right? So,
this is Howard. Creation is only present moment.
Exactly.
Ah.
So, dreams, you know, you can be thinking of the future and projecting. You know, that's a positive thing to do. There's nothing negative with going into the future when you're trying to envision what you want to accomplish. But the actual process of accomplishing it requires you, I mean, life requires you to be in its process. You can try and check out all you want, but eventually you're going to have to come back to duality. You're going to have to deal with relativity. You're going to have to be where you're at and dealing with the things you need to deal with. So the idea is to bring a more peaceful, centered, balanced, greater sense of awareness to the present moment so that you can be more powerful in what you're doing and being and creating, so that the words I'll use is time can collapse for you as it relates to getting towards what you intend to create for yourself. And that's how time speeds up in from my perspective. So the idea is to self-reflect in a way, self-awareness, where you gain a greater sense of who you are that expands the idea of who you are to more love, more opportunity, more possibility, so that when you're in the present moment, you're having feelings, actions, and thoughts that then honor that new idea. And it's amazing, amazing how the universe responds to that, and what doors open for you and what things happen for you and how the dreams that you projected earlier are now in the process of manifesting.
This is Sarah. I love, thank you for sharing that. The only way to create reality is, or to make choices, is in the present moment. Choices are offered to you in each moment, whether you're going to hang the phone up right now or turn the radio off or, you know, just start to say something that's maybe not appropriate. We have a choice in every single moment on how we're going to respond to the moment. But what happens for me, and I'm contrarian, so what I would say is you can't dream big enough for your life. I know it's true for me. I cannot dream big enough for my life. So
okay,
what I can say...
Sarah, that is fantastic. But I want to just stop for a second and just breathe that in. I want you to say it again, and then I want you to stop for a second, and then everybody breathe that in. I'm serious.
Well, what I know for sure is I cannot dream big enough for my life.
Wow. That is amazing.
Well, you know, it's always been said, follow your dreams. And that can work in the present moment. Is it a yum? Is it a yuck? Is this in my integrity? Is this authentic for me? Is this nourishing for me? That's definitely something I can do. But in terms of setting this big goal for myself in the future, I knew I could not even imagine how fabulous this life is because of many things, because of my own indoctrination culturally and religiously and in my family and socially and in this Western world. You know, I cannot, and I know this is true for many of us, it doesn't mean I don't have dreams. I have dreams of finishing my book before the deadline. I have dreams of, you know, making sure that I really help to transform lives. But in terms of the end goal, there's no way I can even know, because I really believe in this benevolent glue of the universe, this love that really has my best interest and your best interest in mind.
I love that. This is Stephen. You know, what you said there just took me back to a board meeting on a profit group I'm working with that I love being on, we went around, had a retreat meeting, and they were asking all the board members what our dream or our passion or vision was, and I said two things. I said, you know, I would rather be a small part of something magnificent than all of something small. So my dreams are really making a difference in the lives of 13,000 neglected, abused, and at-risk children. Mm-hmm. If we just give them one more reason to smile, to give them a dream, then part of my dream is coming true. And to really sum that up is a quote in my first book. It says, you know, define yourself based on your vision, not your history. Change takes time, but a breakthrough happens in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your life in the present moment as quickly as you could snap your finger.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. So does anyone else have anything to say about creation or dreams or creating the life of your dreams and what that means to you?
This is Howard. I'll just add that as it relates to dreaming as big as you can, which is a wonderful idea, and it's very, very powerful. But the power in actually manifesting that comes from understanding the love of oneself, understanding the perfection of oneself. And that's the process of spirituality. And that's, I think, how spirituality ties in to this process of success. It's sort of the pathway to getting to that place where there are no limits on what you dream. So that, you know, there's a line in, I think, my first book. It said that a dream without action is only a fantasy.
Mm.
So really the action part comes from the belief that it's possible, which comes from a will and a strong faith in achieving what you want. And my experience has taught me that there's an unbelievable divinity to this universe. It is a self-supportive universe, but it can only give you what you will give to your own self through the identification you have with who you are. That's why it is so critical.
You know, if I just say, Stephen, you know, what we just said there is that, you know, without love and without self-love, it makes all these other things that we've been talking about all night, you know, a distant dream, which means that we're not going to get it. But it's that love, the presence, the awareness, and everything we're collectively saying is we're all speaking the same language. We're just speaking in a different voice. But it's the love is the foundation of, I think, everything that if we took love out of everything we talked about tonight, it would change everything we talked about tonight.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is the key to it all. So the question becomes, how do you get to an all-loving state? And that's really the process of spiritual, or again, you know, in my definition, we're all subjective on the idea of what spirituality is, but it's the pathway to unconditional self-love.
Yeah. If I may just real quick on that right there, sure. When I was in my late 20s, I lived in Hawaii for a couple of years, and about the love, there was this little church on the north shore of Oahu. And it was a small, maybe 50 to 100 people could fit in there. And it was a husband and wife team. They both had silver hair. Real quickly, they looked like they were glowing. I mean, they had an energy around them that was amazing. And I couldn't help myself. I waited until everybody else was gone. I went up and asked them. I said, you guys know you glow, right? And they just smiled. And I said, how do you do that? And the husband looked at the wife and said, do you want to tell him? Do you want me to tell him? She said, no, you go ahead. He said, young man, every morning when I get up, my number one goal for the day is to outlove my wife. And she just went, like, that'll ever happen. She goes, I let him think that so he'll keep playing. But she goes, I always got him covered. And they were so cute going back and forth. And he said, in closing, he said, young man, here's the thing. When you focus on outloving the other person rather than just what you're getting, you don't really have much time for your differences. Blew my mind.
This is Robert, and I think there's a beautiful connection there to gratitude and appreciation too, because when we think about expressing love in a relationship like that and really being love, when we tap in deeply to gratitude and appreciation, it's a profound way to connect to that state, to really experience that state, and to be able to access it really quickly and easily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that radiance really, to me, this is Sarah, the radiance is really the ability for the soul or your being to project through the filter that can really mask it in the world. I mean, you see people who have got too much to do and not enough time to do it, but too many bills to pay and not enough money to pay them, people looking for love and not finding it. So many stressors, whether it's environmental or emotional or mental or physical, and what ends up happening is that radiance, that natural radiance that's inherent to everyone, just as love is, it tends to get dulled and blocked and filtered. And so how, this is a question I'd love to have answered, but Deborah, it's your show, but how do you get shiny again? How do you radiate that again? How can we do that? I mean, I have my answer. But
well, let's. I would love to have that. How do you get shiny again?
Well, this is Howard Falco again. It's a process of reflecting on who you are. And what I offer to people is that you have to become aware of the thoughts you have about who you are. And what I'll say is to question any thought at all that says that you are anything less than perfect in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's truly what you are. And I don't mean perfect in a narcissistic sense or an egotistical sense. I mean perfect in the sense that everything that's unfolded in your life has been a process of you doing the very best you possibly could have.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that, it sure takes a lot of the guilt, shame, and regret. Doesn't take the responsibility away. Doesn't take the karma away that you're going to have to experience from the other systems and people in your world that have learned to tune to you based on past actions. That's going to have to be changed through a new definition you have going forward of who you are. But it's a powerful acknowledgement, and it can be very, very liberating, so to where you can shine a little bit more on that realization.
You know, this is Stephen, Eric Connor here. It's one of the things that I've had and I've done with clients. I've done this in workshops as well, just an exercise that we can all do anywhere we are at any time of the day, is to get that light shining again, is that if you were to really just go through like just a few-minute meditation, or if you had a bright light above your head, and really we're going to take a tour of you, and you're going to take a tour of you, and that light is really bright, and you bring it down into your head, and you just go inside of you and look around as the light's going down through your neck, your chest, all the way down to your feet. And that light has a dimmer switch on it. Sometimes we dim our light down, we play small, but turn that light up, that dimmer switch up, as bright as it can be. And if you were to hold your arms close to your side and then burst them free as far as your wingspan can reach, you take the inner light and let it glow and resonate on the outside of you, and now that's your energy in your space. That can make you bright. So if someone else is really bright and your light's not bright enough, they'll drive right by you and they won't even see you.
Mm.
But when your light's bright, it also protects you because nothing dark can come into the light. So the light shines through your eyes. The light shines within you. The light shines in the sphere that you have, the reach of your power and energy and essence around you. And I think just that alone, people will see, because there's so much dark in the world. And so if we all turn up our light just a little bit more, I think we can all go a little bit more. But that exercise right there is just, yeah, I do that constantly, and especially if I'm around people that are toxic, because toxic stuff is negative and dark, and it can't come into the light. It keeps me from receiving all that stuff and having energy jump on me.
That's fantastic. Anybody else have any thoughts on how do you get shiny again?
Well, this is Robert, and I would add something about the time to do this. An exercise like the one that Howard was just describing, it's so important to carve out time in our life to do that, because when we do get brought into the darkness, when our day doesn't go the way we want it to go, when things aren't happening the way we want them to happen, sometimes that's the most difficult time to connect to that light. But if we've already done an activity, an exercise, if we've connected on a consistent basis, if we have a morning ritual, whatever it might be, if we're practicing the kind of meditation techniques that we've talked briefly about here, then when life goes kind of sideways and we find ourselves in those darker places, it seems like it's so much easier to not have to figure out, to not have to connect to the light, but to just simply remember. And so having these kinds of rituals, being a part of conversations like this, it's just so juicy tonight. I could just sit here and listen to the conversation all night long. And I feel like, you know, if tomorrow something goes sideways on me, having had the experience of being with all of you tonight allows me so much more quickly and easily to connect to who I really am, to get back to that bright light and get away from whatever, you know, to use the metaphor, the bright light and the darkness, to get away from the darkness and reconnect to that light and be shiny. I love that metaphor.
I know. I like that, too. Christy, are you still with us?
I am. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know you've been there, but I'd love to hear from you, and please.
You know, for me in this area, there really are three things that ignite me. And for me, when I say ignite me, I'm talking about my energy, and I'm talking about four different things: my physical energy, emotional, intellectual, and my spiritual energy. And what I have is I have some music, as you can imagine, Deb. I have some music that I really lean on. And literally, if I just hit play in my CD player in my car, I can shift from 0 to 60 really quickly. The second thing that helps put a spark in me if I'm not where I want to be in any of those different energetic states is I really take a look at the people I'm spending time with. And if I take a look at the people that I'm spending time with and they're really the right people for me, they support me, they energize me, they give me an extra charge in my battery, what I'll do is I'll tap the first person that comes up, I'll give them a quick phone call, and I'll reach out, and I'll actually tap into their energy. And oftentimes, too, it gives me a good opportunity to reevaluate. If I'm not feeling energetic, who am I spending time with, and do I need to make some changes for people who may not be supporting me or I may not be supporting them appropriately? And then sometimes it's just simply to stop and take a breath through my heart and just reconnect, get myself centered. And typically those are really the three things that I do: music, people, and breath.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Well, this is Sarah, and I loved what you just said. It's just so basic, but it's essential. And what's important about what you said is how you're so aware of having that lack of energy. And that awareness is really what keeps us on center. You know, many of us live with that awareness of, or live in that not being centered place, and that's the norm. And when we get on track, the being off center is the real cue to whether it's turn on the CD, get a good friend, remove yourself from the environment, go meditate, any of those things. But I think awareness, again, is key here, this awareness of not feeling comfortable or energized.
Sarah, you just said something really important. You said that sometimes the negative is the norm.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's the norm for the mind, that's what the mind's going to search out.
Oh, yeah.
And so part of the awareness is realizing how you've perceived yourself in your world, where your comfort zone has been, that has caused you to limit yourself in so many different ways. And it may be a readjustment for a new normal that's needed. A new way of seeing things. And a lot of times, for a lot of people, joy and a state of peace can seem very, very uncomfortable at first, when your whole life you've been used to chaos or a mind that won't stop chattering. But all I'll add is that it can become comfortable really, really fast if you're willing to walk through that and realize you're going to not only survive by stepping into more of a state of joy each day and more of a state of peace and more of a state of presence, but you're actually going to thrive.
And you set yourself free from even your own limiting beliefs that we've had from people that have talked to us over the years or people that are around us. It really releases you with the way you said that. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Deborah, and how I would say I would get shiny again probably has to do with that gratitude and appreciation piece, and acknowledging myself and others in the moment. You'll all know that I'm trying to get there in the moment. and actually enjoy and incorporate the beauty around us, the depth and breadth of all the things that you have expressed this evening in this call is valuable to me as a person, to the listeners, to everyone we touch. And we have allowed each other to be difference makers in the moment. And I think that makes anybody shiny.
You know, one of the things that you triggered in my thoughts when you said that right there was really kind of, because this works for ourselves and others, is loving without an attachment to the outcome. In all the things that we do, we're our biggest critic. Can we still love ourselves whether or not I got the result I wanted? So without attachment to the outcome, just stay in love and stay in the present.
Exactly. All right, well, we've got some final thoughts that we can go around, Robin, and just in whatever order, just say whatever the last thought you have, and then just know that we will meet again on another call next Thursday. If you're available, we'll do this again on another subject, and we will also meet at the Spirit Spectacular, which is the Unity of Phoenix event that's happening on Saturday, September 8th. And you are all being billed as the new generation of great spiritual teachers. And I love that, because the messages that you have expressed tonight can be amplified, and your books and your work and your body of work is all going to be on display for us to partake. And I'm just so happy to be part of that and looking forward to meeting everyone and giving hugs. And I should say also that the registration for that event is at www.unityphoenix.org, and that's unityphx.org, or you can call the Unity of Phoenix at 602-978-3200. So we'll see you all there, but let me have your final thoughts, if you will.
Well, this is Howard Falco, and I'm honored and thrilled to be on the call with all of you tonight, so thank you guys for that, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you at the Spirit Spectacular and being on another call with whoever's going to be there next week, and I'm just very grateful, Deb, for you for putting all this together, so thank you very much. And,
you're very welcome.
I look forward to seeing everybody and giving and getting a bunch of hugs.
All right. This is Stephen, and it's, I love this call. I'm more energized now than I was when we started. But it's not only when we see with our eyes, but when we learn to see through our eyes is when we really are having the eyes of love. So don't just see with your eyes. Go inside you and see through those babies. That's what we've
Beautiful.
Been doing tonight, the way I see it.
Beautiful.
Well,
everybody wants to go last.
I want to go last, but I'm going to go now, because now is the only time there is. So,
That was perfect for you.
I was going to let Sarah go, because I didn't want all the guys to go in a row. I felt like we should kind of mix it up a little bit. So go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, I really appreciate being on this call. I'm very excited to be in the company of all of you, you know, these forward thinkers and people that are really willing to really step into their greatness and share your awareness with the world. I know this path, I've been on it for 20-something years, and it's not always easy, and it's not always fruitful, but it is, and I always tell this to my husband, who supports me most of the time, and I say, you know, my currency is not the same currency as everyone else's. You know, my currency is love. And so, you know, it doesn't look good on paper sometimes, but, you know, that's how I roll. And I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Perfect.
I'm going to kind of reiterate what's already been said in terms of, I'm just really looking forward to the opportunity. It's in my awareness that this conversation has gone from a fabulous conversation that Deborah, you and I were able to have one-on-one, and then now bringing in the other voices, it just takes it to a whole different level. And I can only imagine when we get together with not only this group of people, but all the participants as well, and do it live and in person, because there's just nothing like when we're all physically together in the same space. So So I'm just thrilled at the opportunity to take this feeling of community that's present here and just magnify it off the charts. I can't wait to be there.
Yes.
Thank you. Sarah, this is Christy, and I liked how you said, that's the way I roll. I'm actually introducing a new concept, if you will, and it's about leaders, rock star leaders. And it talks about putting the rock in your role. It's combining your passions, your areas of expertise, and the essential elements of your personality, philosophy, and drive, and really manifesting and embodying it in the way we live and the way we love in our lives. So I look forward to sharing more about rocking and rolling. I'm glad to know that's the way you roll.
All right. That's it. You all are absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal people. Thank you so much for letting me be a difference maker in the moment with you. And I know that we will share again next week and have an amazing experience. Who knows what we'll be talking about, but I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. So everyone, please have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for being here with me on Pathways to Wisdom, and make it a blessed, blessed day tomorrow and the week that comes, and take care of yourselves. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Pathways to Wisdom is a production of Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. You can find out more about Boomer and the Babe Incorporated by visiting our website at boomerandthebabe.com.